Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
You're all very, very welcome back. Well, give up your idle sins. Remember that brilliant animated movie featuring a little girl called Mary, who gave a very unconventional story of John the Baptist. But could you give up your idle car? Because we're all being told to do our bit to help the environment, whether that's recycling or cutting back on meat or turning down the temperature in our homes. But my next two guests have taken it to the next level and gotten rid of their cars. I'm joined here in studio by Evelyn Shoga from Galway, who is now totally car-free, and from Tralee by Anlohan Dunn, who has just replaced their family's second car with a cargo bag. You're both very, very welcome.
Thank you very much.
Evelyn, thanks, let's start with you. I'm going to start with Evelyn by asking you, you're from Galway, and you say people react fairly incredulously when you tell them that you've never learned to drive.
Yeah, it's like, why haven't you done it? It's a rite of passage. Everybody does it. It's like, I've never really liked being in the car. I never really enjoyed being on car trips. So it just wasn't something for me. And yeah, people just seem to be shocked. Would I not learn how to do it now? It was like, why? Why do I need to?
Yeah, I didn't get my driving test until I was 34. So I like to think on the carbon offset, I'm doing pretty good. So I know what it was like to be car free. But that's when you're living in big cities with good transport.
Yeah.
Like New York or a London or something else. But how have you managed so far without one?
Fairly easy. Like, but jump on a bus, walk somewhere, like living in the city now. If
you live in the city centre in Galway.
I live quite close to the city centre, yeah. But I grew up down in Achill. I spent a fair bit of my childhood down there. And I never learned how to drive.
Swimming across.
But like, you know, even when I was a teenager, as I got older, if I wasn't getting a lift up my mum or somebody, I'd get a bus down where I could rather than...
And was it environmental or was it a fear of driving? Didn't like being in closed spaces? What was
just,
it?
Just don't like it. Just much rather be out in the open and enjoy being able to get out and about a bit more easier. It's also like, it's quite calming being out and about, like not being confined to a car. You can read a book, you can listen to music, you find people to chat to, you might make a new friend along the way on your journey. Like, you find out things about your neighbourhood or, you know, a little bit more. It's a bit of a slower pace.
Well, but you did marry someone who did drive for a while. You married a driver.
I did.
Reader, she married a driver. When did you guys give up your driving your car altogether?
About 10 years ago, I think. Would it be that long? No, maybe about 8 years ago. So between the cost of running the car and a couple of little hits near or there, like we just decided it wasn't worth it. Like, it costs about 10,690 something euro to run a car a year. That's a lot of money. Like, when you're on a single income as well, it's a lot of money.
So and again, were you sort of like, I mean, did you have to convince him? Were you saying it's about the environment, or was he easy to convince?
He was easy to convince. Like, and I mean, he did find himself when he was going to and from work, he'd be stuck in traffic for ages. He'd come home in the evening, and I love him so much, but God, he'd be in a mood when he'd come in the evening after being stuck in traffic, like for nearly 40 minutes.
So how does he get to and from work?
So because of COVID, we now have an office in the house that he uses. But if he does need to go to work, and it's the other side of the city, he'll get a bus or he'll use a bike. He converted his own bike into an electric bike a few years back.
I want to bring Anlo on there. What is your driving history? It sounds like being cross-examined in court. What is your driving history, Anlo?
To the opposite of what Evelyn mentioned, I got my driver's license when I was 18, and as a point of pride, I passed it on the first passed the test on the first go, so I've had a car for a long time. I started my own car or my own motoring on a little 50cc scooter living here in Tralee, and got a car then a few years later. But before that, I was reliant on borrowing my mum's car, an old Mitsubishi Lancer, for a long time, and commuting up and down to Cork to visit my then girlfriend. So, I mean, I've been driving forever. But we did get rid of the second car and of the cargo bike, like you mentioned.
And look, I mean, and Luan, obviously a car is a brilliant convenience, and that's a hard thing to give up, even sometimes with the cost of maintaining a car. Where along the way did your mindset begin to change?
I suppose I've been, like I say, I've been a motorist for a long time, or a car driver for a long time, but It was kind of around 2018, 2019. I used one of those carbon footprint calculators, and I realized that my carbon footprint was, you know, above average, and I decided I'd do something about it. So I started to think about, you know, what are the personal changes I could make. So I started cycling. I had a pretty basic bike at the time, and then I gave that a shot for a while. I bought one of those Dutch bikes, which kind of has heavier carrying capacity to do the shopping and bring one of the kids around on the back of. Did that through a winter here in West Kerry, in the west of Ireland rather, and proved to myself more than anyone else that I could do it in the winter through the weather, because that was probably my original concern. I soon realised that was the least of my concerns, but it was game changer.
What are the greater hazards than weather if you're biking around?
SUVs and other motorists, trucks, all that. So I mean, the infrastructure is obviously a problem. I mean, I'm in Dublin weekly for work, but the cycle tracks and everything that are in Dublin are fabulous compared to what we have down here in Kerry, you know.
And what about the investment? Look, I mean, if you're going towards, you know, cargo bikes like cars, there's a spectrum, there's a range in terms of the cost and the quality and kind of the high techness of them all.
Yeah, I mean, there's a huge variety out there. And, you know, when I started to consider this originally, like I say, I kind of went in low. I think I spent about 500 quid on a secondhand Dutch bike. But then as I became more confident that I'd be able to do this more in a more substantial way, I bought a used cargo bike. And that was in the region of about 4,000, I think. And that was an electric one. So it basically, you know, it gets fairly windy down here in Kerry, and it helps with the wind. And if you've got the two kids on board and all the rest of it. So they started around brand new, about 2,800, and they can go up to whatever you like then after that.
Yeah. And I just want to ask Evelyn, I'll actually both. How do you, you know, what are your current modes of transport? Like, I mean, what about the shopping, Evelyn? How do you do that? Do you shopping around Galway City Centre with all your bags?
I'm predominantly a walker.
Green bags,
so
obviously.
It is, we would go into our local supermarket, and even before COVID, if you spent more than €25, they'd deliver your shopping for free. So it was brilliant. You'd go in, you'd do your morning shop, your weekly shop or whatever. And then you'd go have lunch, head back home, and your shopping would be delivered.
It's still emissions, but do you kind of reckon it's lots of people are getting their deliveries to them?
I think so, yeah. But like, it's lots of emissions, but it's more shopping going into one vehicle as opposed to many vehicles going out. And as well as that, we also, because we walk a lot, I think we do spend more money in our local shops. We're able to pop down to our local greengrocers and we can pick up stuff fresher rather than doing that big weekly shop. So it's making little behavioural changes to try and leave the car aside or leave the.
And Lauren, you are your family gave up its second car, but is a car still a presence in your life? Do you feel the need for one to meet your family's needs?
Yeah, I mean, at the moment we use the cargo bike for pretty much everything, right? Outside of the commuting that my wife does to work, she does a 100k round trip Monday to Friday, mainly because there is no public transport. I think she'd far prefer if there was a bus. Going from Tralee up to North Kerry directly to where she's working, because she could read or, you know, whatever. And it's one of the things I've noticed since we've switched the second car out for the bike. I'm using public transport a lot more. Like I mentioned, I go to Dublin every week and I use the train, and you get an enormous amount of reading done or work or everything else that you don't do. Last week only I had to go to Mayo for work, and I had to rent a car because, like I say, we don't have a second car. And it's 3 hours each way, and I found it very frustrating because it's just 3 hours of sitting there. And I kind of arrived, and like Evelyn mentioned earlier on about her husband being stuck in traffic for 40 minutes, I arrived and I wasn't in a very good mood. And I kind of contrast that then with when I get off the train in Houston or when I get off the train in Tralee, and I just feel like I've, you know, not stopped my day. It has continued. And even, you know, stuff like the shopping, like the cargo bike's amazing. You can fit two kids in our cargo bike and the weekly shopping on it, and it's absolutely no issue at all. Like, the electric motor is a game changer.
And Lauren, do you worry about, you know, emergencies? Do you know, there's just sometimes in life we just have to get somewhere and go really, really quickly, and you mightn't be close to public transport. You mightn't have the option of calling a family member, and, you know, with taxis, you might be no guarantee you'd get one either. Yeah. So, I mean, do you ever have any kind of anxiety around that, or are there always solutions, do you think?
To be honest, I've never considered that question before until you literally just asked it. I suppose we've been second car free for a number of years now, and I'm putting down about 5,000 kilometres on the bike every year. And I've never once in that time had a situation whereby there's been a genuine emergency where I haven't been able to get from A to B. I mean, Tralee is flat and I can get pretty much anywhere in the town. So whether it be in the context of an emergency over to the hospital or anywhere else, there's no issue getting there. But I mean, for others who are probably living more in more countryside locations, perhaps that might be a concern. But for us, certainly where we're living, there's plenty of public transport to get out of the town, especially to the other cities. And the bike serves every other need, you know.
Evelyn, I have hands up a fear about cycling at an incident with a number 10 bus in Dublin many, many years ago. The bus won. I ended up sort of the side of the road. But as a driver, as a motorist in this city and outside of it, I have a fear of driving because I see how motorists and cyclists interact. And we're not going to get into the motorist-cyclist wars, mm-hmm. but how do you feel, you know, when you're out and about? Do you feel safe? Do you feel the infrastructure is there to support? And we're getting a lot of messages in with lots of people who've been car-free for years and who are loving it. But there is a safety issue. I know we're building some infrastructure, but are we there yet?
So, no, definitely not. Definitely not in Galway. And again, because I'm predominantly a walker, the infrastructure isn't safe for walkers. Never mind people who are going out cycling. That's why I admire cycling advocacy groups, because they're not just advocating for safe cycling routes. They're advocating for safer mobility routes for people, not just for people who are opting to use the car. And it shouldn't be a war. It should be about space for people and getting people to and from a place, not getting a vehicle to and from a place. But no, it doesn't feel safe. I actually stopped cycling with my daughter on the back of the bike in the last while because the atmosphere around Galway and around cycling is so hostile. So it just...
Yeah, it militates against it. Can I ask you, Anne-Louan, about living, you know, in rural Ireland? You know, if you live in a big city like New York or London, then they've got metros, the subways, they've got, you know, very, very good integrated transport systems. But when you live in rural Ireland, and especially where isolation is an issue, you can see why some people want to hold on to their cars, because it's... especially perhaps even when there aren't maybe as many bus routes or other public transport options for them.
Yeah, I take that, and I think about our experience when we kind of started using the cargo bike for everyday journeys, and the sense of community when you're cycling down the street and you might spot someone you know, or someone spots you on your weird bike and they say, oh, where did you get that? And there's a conversation sparks up and there's a real sense of community. And that content, you know, when you're inside in the car and you're there on your own and you're driving from A to B, you're not interacting with anybody else. You're moving, certainly, but from a rural isolation perspective, I mean, we see the Greenway has opened up here in Kerry recently in Tralee to Finnis, and like there's a load of people out there who are bumping into friends that they haven't seen in years because they all of a sudden have that ability to go from A to B on what is a truly rural transport link. So I think, you know, there is an element of rural isolation, but we've seen that those figures aren't moving in the right direction at the moment, yet we have an increasing number of cars on the road. So I suppose I don't see it that it's one is mutually exclusive over the other. It's about giving people different options. Buses are increasing. There's new bus routes coming on stream every week. We're only getting announcements from the local link in Kerry that two new bus routes have been launched in South Kerry this past week. So all of those things are happening. And you can see we use the local link buses when we go out to Dingle in August. And like there's loads of chatter between the people that are sitting on that bus. And if you can connect those then with bikes at the other end, you're kind of giving people that kind of multi-mode ability, yeah. You know?
Evelyn, sharing a space on public transport can be a challenge for some. I personally love trains. I love the chats on trains and I love all of the interaction. But if COVID did teach us anything, it was about slowing down. When we couldn't travel, it was walking about and it was reconnecting to that sense of community. Is that something, you know, there's a lot of people saying they were loving to hear about people going car free, but is that something that sense of slowing down, is that something that you would advocate?
Yeah, definitely. Like our lifestyles lend us, I suppose, to jump into the car. Like if you're going to and from work, if you have a child that you need to get to school, it really does mean that you need to get there quicker. And for most people, they seem to think that the car is the way forward. But I don't know. I find it a bit too fast paced, I suppose. COVID was great. It did teach us how to slow down. Any snow days that we've had in the past few years, the amount of children that come out playing on the streets again and your neighbours that you meet, all of that stuff is great. And it's funny that Anlún talked about isolation there. There is a study from 2017, I think, that has actually shown that children who travel longer distances in cars, they suffer more from isolation and loneliness. So the car actually feeds into that isolation and loneliness, because you are removed. You're isolated, usually one person, sometimes it's two, which is great, but you are removed from your space.
And Anlún, just very quickly before we head over to the Angels and the news, top tips for anyone who wants to go car free?
I think give it a shot. There's loads of these cargo bike sharing schemes happening that they're coming on stream more often. There's a Limerick cargo bike scheme, for example, where you can try one out. Bleeper in Dublin have cargo bike you can rent, but there's loads of companies now selling them. So I bought my cargo bike from a company called Green Air. They've got really nice cargo bikes that are really well set up for carrying kind of kids around. Just go try them out. I mean, just like you'd go down to your motor dealership to try out the latest model of whatever car. Go try out the cargo bike. It's an absolute liberating machine, yeah. You know.
Well, if you see a cargo bike with stabilisers on it, it could be me getting back on my little cycling feet. But for now, thank you so much to Evelyn Shoga from Galway, who's now totally car-free, and to Anlún Dunn in Kerry, who's just replaced their family's second car with a cargo bike.